It's time for Tiger Talk on Star 99. Tiger Talk is brought to you by the Open Cannabis Dakota Bank, Hands On Health, and Grand Central. Now live from Pizza Ranch in Mobridge, here's Andy Hsu.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Pizza Ranch in Mobridge as we are going to do a special basketball version of Tiger Talk. We're going to talk with Coach Headache, the girls basketball coach first. Coach Knutson coming up a little bit later on, but we want to get into it right now and talk about the end of the season, the end of the regular season. Tomorrow night, you guys take on Cheyenne Eagle Butte, a game that was postponed due to weather, and then you've got winter left, and that's it. Most coaches will tell you that they want to be at their peak this time of the year. How do you feel you guys are at right now?
Yeah, it was an interesting, unique year, the way it all played out with 10 of our games, half of our games in the last 3 weeks of the season. So really these past couple weeks have been crazy. I think back to the I think it was Monday. I was thinking back to the Crow Creek game and it felt like it was 2 months ago.
Yeah.
It was only a week before, but that being said, the stretch of games, I'm super proud of the girls, the way they came through it that week. Last week where we had four games and it wasn't like they were walkthrough games. They were four tough, competitive, fast games. And we got through it with three wins and almost the fourth one. So point being back to the actual question you asked, I think we're in a very good place right now. We're playing well and we're in a good groove.
Last night, you guys come up against the Stanley County team that it didn't look like the same caliber of basketball as you guys. Basically, you kind of walked through them without breaking a sweat almost. How does that help or hinder as you're going in? And we're not going to make any qualms about it. Tomorrow night, you're going up against a team that doesn't have a very good record as well. Is that a bad thing to be going into the end of the season and not playing the top quality, best competition?
You know, the Stanley County game was interesting when I was scouting them. They're not as bad a team as the score showed last night. If they can get into a half court, they've kept up with, I think they beat Crow Creek and they kept right up with Todd County, and those were competitive games for us. Really, it was just the girls did an amazing job jumping out in the pressure defense last night, and that's kind of their weakness, and we capitalize on that, and that's kind of how we got out ahead. But to the point you're making, you know, those lower teams, that the point that you always have to make is whether it's going to be a lopsided victory or not, you've got to use it every opportunity to play against somebody else to get better. However that is, whether it's capitalizing on your set plays and continuing to work against that. You know, sometimes that's the hardest thing to practice. Is your plays, because the team that you're practicing against, your own scout team, knows them. You know, they're naturally going to be seeing what's coming. So if whether it's getting into that offense and those plays and stuff and running that against it, but you just have to find a way to get better and continue to work hard. Kind of the point that we as coaches try to make to the kids when you do get into those games and all of a sudden it becomes one-sided is we can't adjust the way we play and play to a different level. We have to play our basketball no matter who we're playing.
Well, and you brought it up. There's been a lot of basketball in the last couple of weeks. And so you're not seeing your scout team. You're seeing a lot of different styles. And we can go all the way back to Belle Fouche and the style that they played. And then you can go to Crow Creek and the style there. You're seeing a lot of different styles. There really hasn't been, you know, one team that looked like another the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, there's a lot of different styles. Some play fast, some play slower, some are bigger, some are more aggressive. So having those all in a row is also a good opportunity for the girls. You know, like you mentioned, there's not a lot of scouting. There hasn't been a lot of practice. When you've got four games in a week followed by three games in a week and three the week before, it's more of play a game. And I've kind of in the years I've been coaching, I've kind of shifted towards being a firm believer in that rest time for those girls in between these stretches is almost as valuable as gym time. So we're kind of at the point with these past couple weeks where we have a game and we're going to get them in the gym the next day, yes, but we're going to get them in there. We're going to get some shots up. We're going to walk through what we need to walk through for the next game, and then we're going to get them out of there and get them off their feet so they can get their rest. As well as we got to remember they're student athletes. The student comes first, so it's hard on them, you know, with all these games and all these practices and stuff. They need some time to be keeping up on their academics and all that stuff as well.
And the style that you want them to play in, the pressure defense and the up-tempo offense, that is going to be something that requires a little bit of rest in between games and practices and so on and so forth. So, yeah, and are you seeing a fatigue as we're getting towards the end here? Are you seeing that the girls are kind of breaking down a little bit?
You know, I think we were kind of back. I truly think that in that what game was it? Even the Groton game, the fourth game in that stretch where we had four games in 6 days. Throughout that game, I think I could see four or five games on their legs. There was just moments where they just looked exhausted. But all the credit in the world goes to the girls. That was a tough game, and it was really a gutted out, grinded out, gritty victory. You know, and we they'd get out, and that's kind of the blessing we have with our depth. But they'd get out, they'd get their 2 minutes, they'd get back in there, and it was adrenaline, and it was everything they could find in their legs to just keep up the pace that we want to play. And the girls did an amazing job doing that. And then they made 12 of 12 free throws in the fourth quarter of that game to seal it down the stretch. And that's kind of been our style. You know, it was close back and forth all the way through three quarters, and then we just kind of stretched it out to a 10 or 11 point victory in the fourth when the other team gets tired. So for us to be able to do that after that string of games, that was huge. And I so proud of the girls, the way they performed in that stretch.
It's funny, in my head, I keep thinking that, and here we are at the end of the regular season, how important is the off season? How important is it for a group of girls to come into the season in relatively good shape in order to kind of keep up this madness that, like you said, 10 games in 10 days and so on and so forth?
Well, our girls just naturally do a good job of that. They're always in the weight room. They're always in the gym. They just love being competitive, and they love being athletes. So that's huge. And for them to put in the time in the off season, and if you can step into that first practice and not have to be spending so much time conditioning them to get them to the physical point where we want them to play, you know, where we want them to be to play our style. And you can jump into that first practice with the X's and O's and the plays if they're already in condition. That's a huge step forward, because you have that many more opportunities, that many more practices at the beginning to get going.
Tomorrow night, senior night for your girls, and you've got four seniors. Talk about them as role models for this younger group of girls that are coming up, and how important it was to, you know, kind of get this group of girls to bond together.
You know, this is a spectacular group of seniors I have. This group is always going to hold a special place to me, being this is my fourth year as the head coach of the girls. So this is the first group, the first class that I've had from freshman all the way through to their senior year. And we've had a lot of ups and downs and a lot of frustrations and a lot of successes over the past 4 years. And these four girls have been a huge part of that the whole way through. So they'll always hold a special place in my heart, and they've been great leaders. I truly believe that they've all been instrumental in kind of what I would consider a turnaround of the program. You know, it's not what I do. It's what the girls do day in and day out. Just their willingness to show up and work hard and get better every day. And on top of that, then that sets a precedent for the younger girls that are coming in to see the way those upperclassmen are working hard to get better and continue. And so those traditions that they've set and that they've given us are going to be here with the program for a long time, and we appreciate that.
Yeah, definitely. And you're right, a special group of girls. And the one thing that you hope is that their last game will be a win. You know, that's the only thing that you can wish upon a group of seniors, is that their last game in a high school uniform is a win. And the only way that can happen is if it's in the state championship game right now.
Well, yeah, I guess there's only three in each class that get to end on a win, you know, first place, third place, and consolation. But whether we're in that position ending it on a win or wherever we are, we obviously want to make a deep playoff run. I think we have a great opportunity to do so. But wherever we are, I hope these girls know the mark that they're leaving on the program and the successes that they've had. And the other thing is, however your season ends and your career ends, like I said, very few do get to end on a win, but the lessons that you learn in high school activities and in basketball, they transcend so far beyond just the basketball court. You know,
right.
The work ethic and the teamwork and the respect and all that stuff, you know, that's a life skill that's going to carry with them for a long time.
I know the cliche. Every time I ask a coach this, the cliche is we're just thinking about the game ahead. We're not going to start looking down the road. But I also know coaches have it in the back of their mind, matchups coming up, this scenario, that scenario, beyond Friday night. What are you looking at? The last time I looked at the rankings, you guys are at number 11.
Yeah, it is one game at a time, but the game tomorrow, unfortunately, because of their record, is going to hurt us in seed points a little bit, win or lose. So it shouldn't be a lot, but it will bring us down a little bit. So the Friday game is going to turn out to be very big. I think a lot's going to land on the shoulders of that game on Friday, whether we win or lose, as far as whether we can hold on to the one seed in the region or not. And then obviously everything plays into the seed points in that 16 should we get to that point as well. So all those little things, but then it really is kind of hard to try to project that, especially as tight as it is right now with the people being a fraction of a point ahead or behind us at any given time. If some other school on our roster, you know, on our schedule that we've played in the past changes from a sub 500 team to a 500 team, that can jump us up. Or if they drop from a 500 team to below, that can drop us down a little bit. And then that's a domino effect because every other team's affected by those records as well. So it's, you can look and you can calculate and you can drive yourself crazy trying to project, but we really just got to focus on getting the wins the next two nights, and then the math will play out as it is, and we continue on from there.
It's a big night tomorrow for your seniors, for your team. It's also the last home game for you guys. So what do you want to say to the fans, the people that have showed up at Mobridge Pollock High School night after night after night and cheered you on?
We appreciate all the love. We appreciate the support that we're getting. These past couple of weeks, we've had a great fan base. The bleachers have been full. We've had a lot of other activities going on with the young kids playing at halftime, the kindergartners for second graders. That's so much fun as well. And there's just been a lot of great positive energy with the big crowds that we've had in the gym these past couple of weeks. So we appreciate it, and we hope you continue to come out and support us, home or away, wherever we are.
And tomorrow, of course, you want to come out and honor the seniors. There'll be a ceremony between the JV and the varsity. You guys are going to start the JV around 5:30 tomorrow, right?
Correct.
So come a little early. The concession stand has been remarkable all year long. The food is great. Plenty of help. There's not a lot of wait time there. Come on out, have dinner, and then honor your seniors and sit and watch a great rivalry that dates back, I don't know how many years, between Cheyenne Eagle Butte and Mobridge Poly.
Yep, long time. I'm not sure. There's been people in Mobridge a long time before me that could maybe answer that for you. I don't know exactly how long it goes back, but it has been a great rivalry, and I've been lucky enough to be a part of it for 12 years now, whether with the boys or the girls. So,
and you're just a pup, so it probably outdates you as far as that goes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, some of my first coaching memories in Mobridge as the assistant boys coach, we matched up with Eagle Butte in the district championship game 2 years in a row. 1 year they made it and went to state, and the next year we beat them and went to state. And they were just overtime battles every time. So, yeah, it's a great storied rivalry and always a lot of excitement for that game. And so we hope everybody can show up to support us.
The schedule on Friday is a little bit of a weird one because there's going to be one C game and then JV, JV, varsity, right? All in the same facility.
Well, they do have two gyms.
So okay, all right. That's C what game. I was just asking.
Yeah, there's a C game at 4, and then both JV games will follow that somewhere around that 5 o'clock area.
Okay.
And then the girls' varsity to follow, and then the boys' varsity after that.
So basically it's on a 6:30, 8 o'clock kind of schedule almost.
Yep.
That's Friday. And that'll do it for you guys until regions. And I guess maybe by Saturday we should know what the matchups are.
I believe so, yeah.
All right, Coach, thank you so much. Good luck tomorrow night. And, boy, I tell you what, our hearts go out to those seniors playing their last home game. As far as regular season, we know that there's going to be a home game for the regions. Yeah, crossing our fingers, toes, everything else. Anyway, thank you for coming out and joining us for Tiger Talk. I hope we can maybe do this again between regions and state.
Hopefully.
All right. Thanks again. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. We're going to have Coach Knudsen talk boys basketball with us when we return Tiger Talk from the Pizza Ranch.
For all of your personalized sports gear, there is only one place, the Open Canvas. From shirts to hats and everything in between, the Open Canvas has it covered. If you're a Tiger, Wolverine, Panther, or whatever team you support, get the gear you need at Open Canvas. If you need banners or vinyl signs, the Open Canvas can do that also with skill and imagination. There's only one place to get your gear, and it's the Open Canvas in Mobridge.
Go get 'em, Tigers. Grand Central Station of Mobridge wants to take this time to wish the Tigers the best this season. Grand Central Station is here for all of your tires, oil changes, convenience items, bait, and of course, gas or diesel. They look forward to serving you in the future. More great things like their new car wash will be coming soon, too. Stop by and check out all the new changes. Good luck, players, this season and in the future from the friendly staff at Grand Central Station in Mobridge.
No one has a handbook for what we're living through today, which is why the experience you have access to makes all the difference in how you make it to tomorrow. For decades, Dakota Bank has worked with ag producers through industry, economic, and regional changes. We're committed to agriculture. We're committed to the producers and families that make our communities great. Go with commitment, experience, and integrity. Dakota Bank, banking, insurance, mortgage, and trust. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Insurance and trust not FDIC insured.
Hands On Health, a supporter of the Mobridge Pollock Tigers, and our certified therapists are here to help you stay in the game. If an injury does knock you out, you can count on our therapists to use the latest research and hands-on treatment to help you recover and get back to the sport that you love. Stay updated on our Hands On Health Facebook page. From our team at Hands On Health to yours, best of luck in your upcoming game.
Let's go, Tigers!
And welcome back here to the Pizza Ranch in Mobridge. We are going to continue Tiger Talk tonight, and we're going to talk more basketball. But we've got the boys coach with us now, Coach Knudsen. I made a comment on the way home last night from Stanley County that I saw something in your boys that I haven't really seen this year. It seems like when the adversity hit last night, your guys really got motivated and started playing almost like a different style of basketball, but they were really geared up.
Yeah, there was times last night that we learned who we were throughout the game. And I agree with you. There was times where I was not coaching basketball. I was coaching emotions, and I was coaching things like confidence. And it wasn't just one player. It was multiple players.
Yeah.
And we just, you know, that's – that is a good thing to experience in the regular season, because now you know what to do, what works for postseason, because that's usually what you run into is postseason.
Right.
Is emotions and jitters and confidence and just a mixture of those types of.
I gave player of the game to last night to Simon Freed. Now, he wasn't the big scorer in the game, but he had some moments that turned the game around, I thought, some big-time moments. And I've seen him in the past kind of, you know, deer in headlight look when he's in a situation. Last night, he looked like he had total confidence. He took some shots, made some shots. He made some big plays on defense and hit some open people under the basket. I felt like it's probably the best I've seen him play since I've been here.
He did do amazing things. I agree with everything you said about his game last night. And, you know, like him moving at that speed makes everyone else so much faster and better as well. And that's a next level basketball that he is going to keep improving, and he's going to bring his teammates along with him.
So I'm going to ask you kind of the same questions about end of the season that I asked Coach Hedig just now. You know, you want your team to be playing at its very best when you get to this point of the season. You want them to be clicking in all gears when it comes to pre-regionals. What would your assessment be right now?
I'm really happy at this point of the season to be coaching things like, you know, not looking at your offensive players, looking at the defense, you know, the little things in basketball rather than teaching new plays and teaching, you know, rubbing shoulders and things. You know, we're really getting down to the point where fine tuning is at its best. And at times last night, we kind of fell apart in some of those small things. But because of what we were coaching through the game is why we won it. You know, like we got the win because We did some small things. We kept our head. We didn't let refs get to us. We didn't let the other team get to us. We kept moving forward. And I think we were rewarded for that in the second half.
Yeah, I agree with you that there were some points there where your team could have completely fallen apart. There were some miscues there. And then there was some referees that were distractions as far as calls and stuff like that. But your kids kept focused and they kept their focus on winning a basketball game and doing whatever it took. And it seemed like they changed styles a little bit, going from, out of control run and gun to playing a half court offense and getting the ball to the open guy and finding the open spots in the offense as well.
Yeah, absolutely. There was things that took a little longer for adjustment wise in the second and third quarters that we were kind of upset about. We shouldn't take that long to make those adjustments, but sometimes the going to the locker room at halftime, and when you have kids that, and we have all of our guys really can lock down in at halftime, and you can make good adjustments because we have smart players. We have players that are willing to do whatever it takes to win. And most importantly, we have players doing things on the floor without me having to tell them. I mean, they are literally talking, communicating, and making adjustments on the floor as what we work on in practice. It's really exciting to see because we did lack some experience and confidence early in the season, but putting that stretch of wins together in the middle of the season really built them up, and we are in a good position for postseason.
I want to talk about Shane Henderson for just a few moments. I think everybody will recognize that he is an offensive threat. He's a rebounding threat. But I think for the first time last night, I saw him at his defensive best, especially when you threw the backcourt pressure on. And he caused so many problems for Stanley County in the backcourt last night. Now, you look at a guy at 6'5", he's probably the tallest guy on the floor. You're thinking, no, this guy has no speed. He probably is a klutz. He is absolutely the opposite of the stereotype of a 6'5 kid, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. We've loved to have him in positions to make plays for us. Down to Belfouche, he got up and blocked that pass at the end so they couldn't even have a chance, a game-winning shot. And he is not an athlete, but when we get in the locker room, he said, how'd you do that? He said, I saw him rearing backing it. Knew he was going to throw it deep, so I dropped it. I mean, it's not something that he second guess. He just goes out and gets it done.
Yeah. I saw things last night I was just amazed with when they were trying to get the ball inbounds, and he was such a threat back there. I think was there two or three 5-second penalties back there that because they couldn't get the ball inbounds, because here's Shane with those long arms and he's got instincts to where the ball's going to be, not where it's coming from, but where it's going to be so he can get up there and steal it.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's making plays in the backcourt, but really where he's making plays is right around the rim. He has had more blocks than any player probably in my recent memory for the Tigers.
Yeah.
I mean, he is racking up blocks 4 or 5 at a game at times. So we're going to need to start keeping a little bit better track of his career blocks.
Yeah, it's amazing.
He's going to have a record.
Yeah, I think you're right. And to think he's just a sophomore. He's still a young pup. He's still learning the game. Yep. And I think the sky is pretty bright for him as far as the future. I want to talk about some of the other kids. I saw some nice things last night from Turner Fitzer. Sometimes Turner gets a little out of control, but I saw him last night actually adapt to the offense, and he made some great passes to some open guys going to the basket.
Yeah, he did that as well, and he also cut to the basket for a nice layup one time behind the defender, and somebody found him. So, yeah, he's getting into the role of the team where he's playing looser. He's not tight, so he's starting to have more confidence, and, that's a good thing because – Down in winter on Friday, we're going to need Turner and Coy come off the bench and do some amazing things for us.
And I see Coy come off the bench, and I remember when I played high school basketball, you see a guy that size coming off the bench, you're automatically intimidated, and I don't think people understand that he's got a great set of hands, and he's also got great vision on the court.
Great vision, great hands. He's tough down low, and he really does know everything that's going on with the team. He knows If I make a mistake calling the wrong play, he knows what mistake I made, who's in the wrong position. He's a thinker. And that's just a valuable thing to have in any high school team, but he's a captain as well. So,
well, and Coy's one of those kids that came over here late. He didn't start in kindergarten here and go all the way through to his senior year. But I think that when you put those guys together, Coy is, one of those people that brings everybody together, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. He knows what to say at the right time. He has good timing with communication. And he has a lot of good timing with passing and his defensive play. You know, he's on time when he's getting out to guard his guy. He's very rarely late.
You've had the fortune of coaching a lot of siblings over the years. And one year you had two sets of twins that were seniors playing for you. Holden and Jackson Eisman, I get to watch them play, and it's kind of, I don't know how to say it. It's special because you can look at Holden and he's looking at Jackson thinking, you know, I know what you're going to do here. We're on the same page. And it's kind of like when Caden and Holden were first playing together, the Eisman boys, they just bring something special. They have such a great bond with each other. Don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. We gave them lots of credit today at practice because last night when we went 2-3 zone and those two were on top, we were playing a more scrappy, aggressive 2-3 zone, and they did a really nice job making the top players from Stanley County uncomfortable, which in turn helped our bottom three play so well. So it's not always about making big plays, but it's about doing your job, and that's a big message that Holden and Jackson do, is they do their job a lot, and it makes everybody else better.
Yeah, I don't think you could be very successful against a team like Stanley County that really was kind of unpredictable unless you get out and you perform your responsibilities in a way that doesn't allow them to be erratic.
Yeah, absolutely. The word erratic or out of control.
Yeah.
You know, it just goes hand in hand with where we want to go, because at times we want to just push the envelope. So we are kind of playing out of control. So you get those extra little baskets or you get those extra tips and deflections, but against a winner on Friday, we're going to need to really play not out of control. We're going to play a disciplined game and just hit shots. We're excited for that. And I've been really, really happy with Kobe Goodshield down at Stanley County. He was definitely our best player on the floor.
Yeah.
He was our leading scorer. He did so many things on offense and defense that not just show up in stats, but his communication. He and Shane are working extremely well together with communicating on offense. And that is so important because it's going to get us going to the point where we need to score 60 points against Winner to be able to keep up with them. And I think we can get it done with our guys right now. We can put up some points. So.
Yeah, he's playing at a different level. I know he didn't play last year, but the year before, I watched him, and the level of improvement from that time to now, it's remarkable to see how much he's improved his game and is contributing to the team.
Yeah, absolutely. His confidence. He hit that three-pointer last night in the first quarter, and he shot it smooth, and it was nothing but net. And then his next one, he missed it by a tiny bit, but we watched it on film together today, and he hesitated just a little bit. I said, you can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
You got to let it fly.
Yeah, exactly.
He's has one of the highest three-point percentages on the team right now in the
That's
last
amazing.
Five, 6 games, and he'll do it too. He's super coachable, happy, and we're excited for his end of his senior year. So.
Yeah. Well, you guys come up Friday night against Winter, and then you've got a Timberlake game in Timberlake. And I don't care who you are or where you're from. Timberlake's one of those atmospheres that you go into. And not to say it's going to be hostile, but they do have a home court advantage a little bit, don't they?
I've never coached a varsity team in Timberlake.
Oh, that's right. You haven't.
No. So this will be our first trip over there quite some time. We've played summer ball over there. We've done lots of different camps and things over there, but we'll see how it is. And I know they probably have a home court advantage. But we've been to some awfully crazy places season so far. So I don't know if it's going to beat any of those.
Yeah, that's for sure. I was thinking about that the other night about Coach Hedick talked about the schedule where you're playing 10 games the last, couple of weeks of the season due to the weather and the travel and some of the places that we've seen this year. I think you're going to look back on this season and say there's never been one like it, and there probably will never one be coming up like it.
Yeah, and you could say that, but it was kind of enjoyable because we did get so much installed before we went on that big run of 8 games in 13 days.
Yeah.
You know, we slipped up against Harriet Selby, but we moved on from it, and I think we can learn from certain losses throughout the year. But
you bet.
Really, we are happy with where we're at. We would like to have a favorable matchup for postseason, but I don't know what that would be. I mean, you just never know. Sometimes things work out for you the best, and things happen for a reason when you get matched up for this and that, and we'll see what happens.
Well, the great thing about postseason, I've said it a million times, is you take the records, you throw them away, everybody starts anew. And one thing about high school sports, well, any sports, any given team can beat any other given team at any given night. So you got that going for you going into postseason.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a lot of things that our players are reiterating to themselves, you know, from game to game. And we have an awfully good set of kids right now that I feel confident we can get back to winning in the postseason and get back to the Sweet 16.
All right. Well, I appreciate you coming in, and as I offered, Coach Hedick will be between regions and state. Maybe you'll come back and talk to us a little bit about the state tournament.
Yeah, absolutely, especially if they have all this good food. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks again to TJ Knutson, and that's going to do it for Tiger Talk. For Mary Schreier back in the studio, I'm Andy Hsu. Good night.
This has been Tiger Talk on Star 99. Join Andy Hsu next Wednesday at 7 p.m. for another Tiger Talk. Brought to you by Grand Central, Hands-On Health, Dakota Bank, and The Open Canvas. This has been a production of Star 99 Sports.